Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Wednesday, January 31st, and here are some of the stories we are covering. A former ECOWAS Secretary General blames the regional bloc for the departure of Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger.
It has been a disaster of decision which was taken in Guinea-Bissau at the first instance of the coup. They went too quickly to impose a sanction.
Kenya hosts African intelligence chiefs to combat transnational security threats. A Ugandan opposition leader says government is persecuting rather than prosecuting him. Meanwhile, a Ugandan government minister affirmed that there is freedom of association in Uganda. Liberia's anti-corruption chief vows to improve the fight against corruption in 2024. A Zimbabwe court sets free an opposition politician after 600 days in prison.
We are happy that Job Scala has finally been reunited with his family, is now able to continue with his legal practice. But we are angry with the conduct of our state. We are angry with our judiciary. Why did they incarcerate Job Scala for almost 2 years now?
And the U.S. delivers 66 schools for students in rural Malawi. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Niger, one of the three countries which are leaving the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, submitted its notification on Tuesday to ECOWAS to make official its withdrawal from the regional bloc. The French news agency AFP said Mali and Burkina Faso have already formally notified ECOWAS. Lansana Kouyaté is the former Secretary General of ECOWAS and now an opposition leader in Guinea. He tells reporter Karim Kamara that ECOWAS is to blame for the deteriorating relations between ECOWAS and the three member states.
It is unfortunate for both sides. ECOWAS, at the onset, have been created to promote the strength of West Africa, known as Economic Community for West African States. But it goes beyond the economic aspect. ECOWAS is a very complex organization, but it is the first also regional organization in the continent. I believe the situation which prevailed after the coups in the three countries have created a kind of impediment, because for me, honestly speaking, it has been a disaster of decision which was taken in Guinea-Bissau at the first instance of the coup. They went too quickly to impose a sanction. The President of the Republic of Togo has done tremendous efforts to avoid this escalation. I know.
And we had the three countries accusing one European country, which they say is behind, and all the sanctions ECOWAS has imposed on the three member states.
The international community looked only when the coup d'etat happened. But what happened before the coup? What culminated to that? People don't see that.
And finally, what do you think would be the lasting solution?
The principle, when you want to leave ECOWAS, you have to spend 1 year and following the process which is described in the treaty of ECOWAS. I hope before that the goodwill will prevail.
So I heard the Secretary General saying that, look, they want this country, they need them, and they need each other, so they should come together and negotiate.
If it is followed by appropriate decision regarding, the contradiction between ECOWAS and the three countries, it's very simple. They went very quickly to implement sanction. And now the three countries, they have the right, because it has been decided by ECOWAS itself that any country can go away from ECOWAS. This is what is done now. If ECOWAS have given the signal that they still believe that negotiation can go and resolve this problem, they have to find very good negotiator.
Lansana Kouyaté is the former Secretary General of ECOWAS and now an opposition leader in Guinea. He spoke with reporter Karim Kamara in Conakry, Guinea. Kenya is calling for increased collaboration in intelligence and security across Eastern African nations to counter transnational security threats. This week, the country is hosting security and intelligence chiefs from 14 African nations to assess gaps in the security sector and tackle issues such as terrorism, poaching, piracy, drugs, and human trafficking, Mohammed Yusuf reports.
Kenya is calling for increased collaboration in intelligence and security across Eastern African nations to counter transnational security threats. This week, the country is hosting security and intelligence chief from 14 African nations to assess gaps in its security sector and tackle issues such as terrorism, poaching, piracy, drugs, and human trafficking, Mohammed Yusuf reports. Kenya says the aim of this week's meeting is to deepen cooperation and collaboration to fight transnational security issues. Deputy President Rigathi Gachagua told security officials meeting in the port city of Mombasa that staying updated and adaptive is crucial to address evolving challenges of regional and global security threats.
National intelligence service officers are an essential component in collection of evidence-based information for action by other state agencies. In an environment where networks of criminals have gone regional and global, national intelligence services cannot be left behind.
The eight-country East African community, along with Comoros, Djibouti, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Malawi, Mozambique, and Seychelles, have come together to build working security relations to combat the threats of terrorism, drugs, human trafficking, and the armed groups' takeover of natural resources, like the mines in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. According to the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crimes, Southern and Eastern Africa are becoming trafficking routes for criminals, with traffickers collaborating across borders using smartphones and other advanced technologies that make it harder to disrupt their activities. Corruption, lack of cooperation, and poor relations among some African countries have been blamed for enabling the criminal activities to escalate. Richard Tuta is a Kenyan security expert. He says the conference is trying to ease the distrust among countries and their intelligence agencies.
That conference is trying to bring about, to end about suspicion among its various intelligence community. And once that suspicion is ended, then there would be collaboration and information sharing among us all these intelligence community, because what there is and what has been there before is the ring fencing of information so that everybody is suspicious of each other.
In some instances, countries have shared intelligence which prevented acts of terrorism, such as Kenya and Somalia, cooperating against militant group Al-Shabaab. Gachagua says security officers in the region must devise more strategies to deal with such groups and criminal gangs.
We must be armed with highly innovative infrastructure for tracing, tracking and monitoring potential threats for early elimination and prevention. Security chiefs here are advisors of key state decision makers. Your work must inform legal and policy actions for sustainable security solutions.
The Mashariki Cooperation Conference in Mombasa ends on Thursday. Mohammed Yusuf, VOA News, Nairobi.
On Tuesday, Zimbabwe court set free former legislator Job Sikala, who has been incarcerated for over 600 days on various charges, including inciting violence. Sikala has gone to become the face of political prisoners in Zimbabwe. Reporter Kuzai Zenabashe in Harare has details.
The cheerful sounds are minutes after the ruling that set Job Sikala free. Obed Masaraure is the National Solidarity Organizer for Job Sikala Solidarity Chapters, a pressure group meant to highlight the incarceration of Sikala and other political prisoners. He welcomes his release, but has no kind words for the judiciary.
Yes, we are happy that Job Sikala has finally been reunited with his family, is now able to continue with his legal practice. But we are angry with the conduct of our state. We are angry with our judiciary. Why did they incarcerate Job Sikala for almost 2 years now? But what is his crime? It was to stand up when it was not fashionable to stand up.
Critics have said Sikala's case was political, one that needs political remedies. But the director of information for the ruling party ZANU-PF, Farai Marapira, says Job Sikala's case was purely criminal.
The mere fact that Job Sikala is a politician does not mean that his arrest is political. The arrest of Job Sikala was purely of a criminal nature because of accusations that were leveled against him, and he was convicted by a court of law and summarily sentenced. This is a good example of the true doctrine of separation of powers, and it has been exercised to the fullest extent, and we appreciate and respect that from the courts.
Masaraure maintains that Sikala has been shortchanged and deserves an apology by the nation.
Our forefathers, our forebearers, went to the liberation struggle to fight for a just and free and equal Zimbabwe, where if every citizen will get an opportunity to contest in elections, to challenge the government of the day, and to speak their minds freely. So this is unfortunate that Job Sikala had to endure that. And we owe him an apology as a nation. We say we are sorry, Job Sikala, we could have fought for your release earlier on, but we are glad that it's finally free. But going forward, we have drawn a line in the sand. No other citizen will suffer the same fate.
Masaraure says the pressure group will focus on expressing solidarity with other political prisoners. Sikala's release comes just days after the leader of the opposition, Nelson Chamisa, announced he is leaving the political party. Citizens Coalition for Change, after a series of internal disputes that saw the recall of his close allies by Senyenzo Chabangu, who asserts that he is secretary general of the party. Other CCC leaders disagree. Sikala was released and came home to jubilant sounds and a hero's welcome in his Chitungiza home. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zwinavashe from Harare.
You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barty, Washington. Today is Wednesday, January 31st. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Ugandan opposition leader Dr. Kizza Besigye says criminal charges against him over the years have been about persecuting rather than prosecuting him. A court last week gave the government 20 days from January 24 to present evidence against Besigye and another defendant, or the government would be forced to close its case. The two were charged in 2022 for inciting violence because they led protests against high commodity prices. The Uganda Monitor reports the government had asked the court to adjourn the case for 3 weeks because its witnesses had been assigned to the just-concluded Noiline Movement and G77 conferences held in Uganda. Dr. Besigye tells me that the government has no evidence to back up its claims in court.
Well, we were not happy because this is a case that is about 2 years old. One of the very many trumped-up charges that I have faced over the years. I have to inform you, James, that in the uncountable number of charges that have been placed against me, including many of a capital nature, of which if I was sentenced would lead to a death sentence. I have been charged with several of those, including terrorism, including rape, including illegal possession of guns and so forth. Of all those uncountable number of cases, has the prosecution ever established a prima facie case that I have to defend myself against? So very clearly, these are just trumped up charges, completely without any iota of evidence. But the intention is to cripple us by keeping us in court, taking away our time that we would be using to do other things, spending a lot of money with legal services and, other costs of being in court endlessly, and certainly keeping us generally harassed so that we don't concentrate on whatever else we would be concentrating on. So this is just political persecution. It has nothing to do with prostitution.
Dr. Besigye, what do you make of the government's explanation for calling for the postponement? That is that the witnesses have been deployed in other places and therefore is unable to bring them to court.
Well, I think the excuse was even the most annoying, most ridiculous, because the prosecutor said that his witnesses would have been policemen who unfortunately have been deployed to guard the non-aligned movement and the G77 conferences. These conferences ended about 4 days ago. All the guests of those conferences left a long time ago. So clearly, they couldn't have been guarding something that is no longer there. But, you know, they just want to say something to simply keep up the case going on and on and on.
Dr. Chisa Besigye is a Ugandan opposition leader. He was speaking with us from the capital, Kampala. Uganda's Minister of ICT and National Guidance, Chris Barimutsi, says the government is not holding political prisoners and that Ugandans are free to join any political party or their choice. This, as a Uganda High Court judge on Tuesday set April 8 to hear a petition in which families of 18 opposition supporters allegedly arrested by security agencies have asked the court to declare their continuing detention illegal.
It is a redundant call because in Uganda we don't have political prisoners. We don't. I repeat, in Uganda we don't have political prisoners. Now, a political prisoner means, in my understanding, that the state arrests you and imprisons you because of your political beliefs and not every because you are opposed to government. And I'm saying no, nobody has been arrested because he belongs to, or she belongs to FDC or UPC or DP or NUP or any other opposition political party. The people are arrested on the basis of suspicion for having committed a crime. Now, if police has information or someone accuses you that you have committed a crime ABCD, then the police and the state agencies have a duty to arrest you if there is a cause. And it will be on the basis of what suspicion the state has. And the law clearly stipulates for how long you should be held in the police cells. Then you should be charged and arraigned before courts of law. But it happens that you might commit an offense, but you belong to a political party. Or you commit an offense, you belong to a particular religion. Or you commit an offense, and you belong to a particular tribe. If that were the case, then many people would be in cells. Because people in Uganda are free to say, I support NUP, I support FDC, I support DP, I support UPC. And he goes court-free because it's not a crime to belong to a political party in Uganda.
Uganda's Minister of ICT and National Guidance, Chris Bayomunsi, speaking Tuesday in Kampala. The chair of Liberia's Anti-Corruption Commission, the LACC, says the country, under the leadership of President Joseph Boakai, will improve its standing on the 2024 Transparency International Corruption Perception Index. This, after Transparency International said Liberia declined 16 points since 2012 on the survey. LACC Chairperson Alessandra Comazo says Liberia under President Boakai will become a country of good governance, transparency, and accountability. She also tells me that her commission did not get 100% asset declaration compliance from officials in the executive branch of the administration of former President George Weah.
The LACC has received with great, great disappointment the Transparency International's Corruption Perception Index for the year 2023. So now the big question is there hope for Liberia? Our answer here at the LACC is yes. President Joseph Yuma Boakai, in his State of the Nation address, pledged to support anti-graft institutions to lead the charge in the fight against corruption. And so we look forward to this initiative. We here at the LACC, we have now charged ourselves to remain committed. We are going to ensure that come 2024, Liberia is going to improve on any corruption index in the world. We are going to improve our fight, and we are going to Liberia remain or become a society, good governance, transparency, and accountability. And this is a fight that we are calling on every Liberian to join us.
When do you plan to begin taking access declaration from the incoming Boakai administration?
So in keeping with our Code of Conduct, Section 10.2 as amended, it provides that presidential appointees are to declare their assets 30 days after appointment. And so these officials that are being nominated, some of them have to go for confirmation, and after confirmation, then they have to be officially appointed. During the 30 days period, we will begin to engage them.
So, Councillor, I'm assuming that you have completed declaration with the outgoing George Weah government. If that is the case, let me ask you, how successful were you with those outgoing officials?
We have not completed. Like we said previously, it is an ongoing exercise. However, we intend to wrap it up, hopefully, by the end of this week. We did not get 100% compliance, but we got, I can safely say that we got up to 85% compliant.
So if you say you don't have 100% compliant, which officials that are non-compliant?
All of the executive officials in the executive branch have not complied. By next week Friday, whether you comply, you do not comply, we will conclude the exercise, and then we will begin the process of enforcement. We will have to do verification, and then we'll begin the process of enforcing sanction.
That's exactly what I want to ask you, because in case someone does not comply, what options do you have?
There are sanctions that are in our code of conduct. For example, in our code of conduct, some of the sanctions have to do with withholding salary, suspension from your job.
Councillor Alessandra Komazo is the chair of Liberia's Anti-Corruption Commission. She was speaking with us from the capital, Monrovia. And that's it for this Wednesday, January 31st edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for coming aboard with us this morning. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I am James Butte in Washington, wishing that you will have a lovely day.
Bringing women voices to the conversation on things that matter to the hearts and minds of women. From right here in the nation's capital to on the ground from all over the African continent. We hear your voices. Our voices. Right here on VOA on Wednesdays at 1900 UTC.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-Minute VOA Newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Sporty greetings. This is VOA's Sunny Young. Brighten your day by tuning in the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and VOAAfrica.com.